Well, in many parts of the world, vaccines have been approved using emergency authorisation. That's not the basis for the approval in Australia. The Prime Minister has stressed the Pfizer vaccine has received full approval according to the normal processes. It is, though, described as provisional for 2 years. So what does that mean? I spoke earlier to Professor Christine McCartney. She's the Director of the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance and a professor in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Sydney.
The TGA have decided that they would like more data to be supplied on this vaccine to them formally over time before allowing full registration. This is a good idea because it just means that we can learn to know more about this vaccine and indeed others that they will be looking at closely and potentially approving. You know, these are brand new disease, brand new vaccines. And we've already gained a huge amount of information about how effective they are, how safe they are, but this is allowing formally more information to flow. It's important to recognise that other countries approve these vaccines in an emergency use authorisation type framework. So we're actually acting on a lot more information and there will be more to come.
So if Australians look at this phrasing, provisional authorisation, they shouldn't fear that there's something, you know, dangerous or something we don't know that we should know before we start this?
Oh, not at all. I mean, this Pfizer vaccine was studied in tens of thousands of people in clinical trials and has now been given to tens of millions of people across the world. And, you know, to date has an excellent safety profile and very consistently is around 95% effective in preventing disease.
Now, that brings us to that key question, doesn't it? It prevents the worst symptoms, doesn't it? It doesn't stop us getting the disease. Is that still the information?
Look, at this stage, it certainly prevents anyone becoming ill. And that's exactly what we need right now. So if a vaccine prevents you from becoming ill, then it's also quite likely that it will prevent people from being infected without being ill, you know, and also quite likely that it will prevent transmission. But we don't have the exact proof of that yet. That's harder to study in clinical trials, and a lot is learned about that as we see vaccine roll out across, you know, different populations. So I that information will be coming, but first and foremost, let's stop you know, people at the borders getting the disease, people who are at very high risk, such as the elderly people and aged care, and indeed healthcare workers who we don't want to have COVID-19.
And what's the evidence about how long the vaccines offer us that protection from getting seriously ill?
Well, of course, again, this virus is only about a year old in the whole of the population, and we know with the disease itself, it's unlikely to be infected a second time. But of course, we've only been following this virus for a year. So far, you know, the immune response is looking strong after vaccination, and we just have to track that over time to see what, you know, maybe whole of life immunisation might look like.
Mm. Now, there are new variants of the virus, of course, which are more contagious, we're told, possibly make people sicker as well. Are these vaccines effective against the new variants? Do we know that yet?
Information so far is suggesting that the vaccines that have been approved will be effective against the new variants. But again, it's early days and there are a tremendous number of studies that are going on in the laboratory, in clinical trials, observational studies as programs roll out to look at this very carefully. We're just at the beginning with our vaccine journey here. It's important to recognise, though, that if there were to be, you know, kind of what we call vaccine escape or the potential for the vaccines to be less effective, then they could be further tweaked. This is particularly advantageous for the vaccines that rely on the genetic code, where you can potentially, not necessarily, but potentially tweak that genetic code to align more with the new variants.
Now, the rollout of this Pfizer vaccine requires temperatures of minus 70 degrees. There's been a lot of discussion about these logistical challenges. What's your observation about how well Australia is prepared for that in terms of having the logistics in place, having people trained in handling the vaccine, all of that? Have we done well on that?
Look, I think we're in a tremendously good situation. Firstly, we're not having to roll out the vaccine in an absolute emergency type context like our unfortunate colleagues in Europe and many other parts of the world have had to do. So that's number one. Number two is we've learned from their experience just, you know, many things about those transport, logistics, storage, how to handle and and use the vials. All of that sort of information is helping us design a program that hopefully will be very controlled, I'm sure will be very safe and very thorough. Of course, there's still a lot for healthcare providers to learn about the vaccine, because it's only now that the registration has come through that, you know, materials supporting the whole program can start to be delivered, provider training can actually start to occur in a much more detailed way.
And what about the messaging for this, Christine? How well prepared is the community? How adequate has the public messaging groundwork been around the rollout of the vaccine?
Look, I think there's still a way to go there, but that's also been dependent on knowing which vaccines, certainly this first vaccine, is to be registered in Australia. And now that we have more certainty that the green light for the program to start, hopefully late February with the highest priority populations, is that much more detailed information can be available to those who might get the vaccine in the first instance, but the public more broadly. Again, we've seen over 60 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine delivered to people across the world. So there is a lot of information out there. And obviously, we need to get, you know, the public on site about this, because it is our strongest tool in the toolbox to help get on top of this dreadful pandemic.
But we are still looking at another year, maybe more, of coming to terms completely with this pandemic?
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, you know, as the virus is spreading anywhere in the world, it's a threat to all of us. So I think first and foremost, you know, let's see that, you know, the Australian vaccine program start. Let's see vaccines be distributed in all areas of need across the world, which is, you know, pretty much every single country. And you know, that will take some time to really have a significant global impact on the spread of this terrible scourge.
Christine McCartney, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Professor Christine McCartney, Director of the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance.